Blog Talk Radio.
Shut. On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thank you, Lord, for another day of being here. Thank you, everybody, for coming in and hanging out with us once again. Thanks to all of you that are out there pouring in and helping us build our listener base. We are now at 11,126 people, up from 11,083 last night. So I want to thank every single one of you that are out there. I know you probably hear this a million times, those of you that are my regulars, but to those of you that are newcomers and are part of the number, thank you very much, because we do most definitely try to reach all of you and hopefully make some sort of difference or give you some sort of positive outlet, you know, with the show. Okay, tonight both of my co-hosts are in the middle of emergency, so I'm probably going to be running this alone tonight. I may be able to get one in. There are certain things that, you know, you just can't control, whether it's you're in a professional situation or not, and both of them are with one. Also, Deacon Zeddy Williams, as we shouted him out last night, all of you that have listened, to this man, you have heard the wonderful, insightful things that comes out of his mouth, how passionate he is about restoring Christianity and the youth and the communities, about community awareness, and, you know, we sorely miss him every time that he's not on the panel, because the things that he contributes always is interesting to hear. So, with that being said, let's move on to this routine, and I'll need all of you to call in tonight, because most of what we're going to be speaking about with tonight's topic may have sounded like we have done this before, but since we are in a repetitive, problematic situation with this particular topic, we're going to keep talking about it until we make something happen. There's a saying that used to be said in a church that I once attended that is called push. Pray until something happens. But we're going to push, and we're going to push for God, too. So we're going to move it up to try to make sure something happens for us, you know, while we still have life and breath. And that'll be something that we are going to get together here today. All right, so I'm trying to get everything together here. While I get set for you, are you ready? Now, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York, currently with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear Barry spin his DJ musical magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. This guy brings you the best of classics, modern, R&B, soul, love music, everything. And you never know what he's going to hit you with next. So check him out on iSoulRadio.com over the weekend and on your weekend evenings. And, you know, you'll have some fun listening in. Next up, we have Jay Dixon, who is of iSoul Radio as well. Jay Dixon, thank you very much for all that you do and everything that you have. And getting back to Barry Mason just for a second, folks, he is also Track One Entertainment CEO. And coming up on September 18th, we are about to have the last rooftop party of the summer. You can check out at the Brooklyn Terrace. Those of you that have been to the Brooklyn Terrace know what a wonderful venue it is. It's just magical just to be there, topping what the event is. So just being in that venue, being in that environment, along with the great events that we're attending there, makes everything so much better. So hit me up or Barry Mason up on Facebook. You can see the flyers. He's always posting announcements. Go have fun. And mind you, whenever Track One sets out an announcement, those tickets go quick. So kindly get in quickly so that you don't lose your spot or your opportunity to be a part of the magic, okay? Last event of the summer, you know, before fall sets in, it gets cold again. Let's have some fun. Back to Jay Dixon. Jay, thank you very much for all the time that you have spent, whether it was a quick 3 minutes or a half an hour, all of the time that you have spent allowing yourself to be an indirect part of the scene with your advice and everything, and just being a wonderful person. Stephanie Hammond-Tillette and Marcia Morgan of Simply Sensational, Inc., you ladies have come through for me as well, so thanks very much for that. I want to say thank you to my team, Monster Miles and Lady Diamond, two of the most amazing people that you can possibly work with and have your back with, professionally and otherwise, and it's an honor and a blessing to be able to be a part of them and them a part of me. So thank you guys for this. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, today's topic is the NIMBY disease, no voice, no use. Now, NIMBY, that's N like Nancy, I N like Mary, B like boy, Y like yo-yo. That means not in my backyard. That's my little personal nickname for that particular way of thinking. And this is the reason why. Having that mentality used to be what we as a generation went through, from people who had, let's say, less than human purposes for thinking of us different. And as long as whatever problems we were going through didn't come into their neighborhoods, they didn't care or didn't look twice or didn't turn the other way if they witnessed something happening. Now, the problem that I'm having with that is what it used to be. Now it's widespread among everybody, and it spills over to our community and to our youth. So having the mentality that if it's not happening in my backyard, it's not my concern, that doesn't work with anything. Now, we have heard a lot, me and my team have spoken about something like this before, but there's a whole lot more to it than just the youth. It's affecting us, the community, as parents, as adults, as people, period. It's affecting us. It's affecting the way we interact. And coupling that with the fact that technology is already taking over humans' dirty work or humans' responsibilities, we are dealing with mentality where people are sitting there and they are saying things that doesn't concern them directly. If it's not happening to me or my kids or my husband or my wife, it really doesn't concern me. Well, when you start thinking that way about the way your politicians are about to walk ahead and make a decision for you, you know, if it's about, let's say, public assistance and you happen to be a working class person, it may not affect you because you're not on welfare, but what happens in that day when you break your back on the job and that very decision that was made about any type of public aid that goes to a person in need now affects you? If that child next door is out and you see that there's a young girl that's out there and she's smoking weed and she's drinking and boys are around, but it's not your daughter or your son that's doing it, and you turn your back, you don't know what that child could be going through, and whatever she's bringing with her could eventually spill over to your child. So tell me how that is not your business. Now, when we get back, I do have a couple of panelists in on the line. When we get back from our commercial break, we're going to start this. So the name of the topic tonight is the NIMBY disease, no voice, no use. Be back in about 4 minutes. Going out with the Fat Back Band and I Found Lovin', and I'll be back in 4 minutes. Stick with me, folks.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Hi, welcome back to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, to those of you just tuning in, tonight's topic is called the NIMBY disease, no voice, no youth. So let's start it like this before I bring in our panelists for the evening. Let's start it like this. There's a fight going on right in front of your house or at the house next door, or you're sitting in a restaurant and these kids get into a fight or two people get into a fight. And back in the day, if someone was getting really hurt or beat up or ganged up on, or a female was in trouble or some kid, people felt it in their hearts to reach out and help. Maybe they were too afraid to approach the assailants, but they weren't too afraid to at least make an anonymous 911 call to the police. Nowadays, there are so many different factors as to why people won't. But mainly, a lot of people are absorbed now in the impersonal world of their own individual technology. A lot of people are worried about their own personal situations, meaning that what is that person? I don't know that person. What does it do for me? It's the same with youth. You see a child that is, let's say, getting into trouble. And back in the days when neighbors or other adults saw that, they would have their little snide remarks to say, but they would say something to the child and to the child's parents or to anybody around them. Nowadays, everybody just takes that and walks. So how does that help this already failing community, this already in trouble economy? How does it appeal to the economy? Well, a lot of people are letting things get destroyed and not really caring about being rebuilt, because you know what? It doesn't concern them. If it's not the store that they have to go and buy their children's food from or their daily medicines from, why do they care? They care because you know what? It may not affect you now, but everybody at some point has a situational change. Okay? Just a minute. I'm getting a little bit of feedback from my mic. Let me adjust the mic just a bit. I'm not sure if y'all hearing it, but I'm hearing it. So just give me 1 second. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's better now. Well, we will definitely now call into our panelists. My thoughts, what I would like to hear from you tonight is, what have you seen that's changed with society? What is it that you feel is the effects of people thinking with that it's not in my backyard situation? Back in the days, it was mostly a race thing that used to take place. If you weren't part of my neighborhood, if you weren't in my race, if you weren't a part of me in my family, my immediate friend circle, you don't concern me. If you're not trying to rob me, if you're not trying to take something that affects my personal space, my personal world, it doesn't concern me. Now that's going amongst each other widespread. So I'm going to bring in my first panelist, everyone. Thank you for hanging with me through the very brief delay. And we will get the topic underway in dialogue. 1 second. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening. How are you?
Hi, good evening. Hello, Mr. Charles. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. Very nice to hear your voice, sir. Just a question.
Yes.
You and I, we are God brother, God sister, ladies and gentlemen. So we kind of grew up in that area, in an area of the world where even with the situation we were in, myself being a pastor's daughter, him being an active youth member of the church at the time, we had to deal with a lot of, you know, like kids are supposed to be seen and not heard. We dealt with a lot of that. And we did come from, as we spoke about in the previous segment, the last of the Big Mama generation. But now, Charles, tell me something. Have you noticed more of people, and not just the way it used to be, where it was the rich versus the poor, or, you know, a community of higher class versus the poor class, the NIMBY disease, that's what I call it, the not in my backyard mentality. Have you noticed that a lot more? I'm really interested in how you have seen it appeal to the youth and to things that, like, are for minorities and communities such as ours, small communities.
Well, keep in mind, too, when you and I were around the same age, when we were growing up, our elders were old. Grandma is now 45. You know, and so, and she's dropping it like it's hot in the club. The kids. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, though, the generation is a lot younger. They're a lot more violent. I heard you mention something about calling 911. The first thing you do when you call 911 is they ask you for your telephone number.
Which you're supposed to be able to opt out of.
I actually was watching a drug transaction happen in front of my house while the police was standing out checking inside cars. And I said, there's a gentleman selling drugs right on the side of my house with no legs in a wheelchair. A no-legged drug dealer. And I'm not playing or being facetious or mean-spirited, but he had no legs in a wheelchair. The first thing the lady said, what is he wearing? I said, he's wearing no legs. He's in front of my house, right? The police are standing right in front of him, checking everybody's car, and he's standing right on the side of him, and she's asking me for my phone number. I said, what the hell you want my number for? You? I'm not here to call you or you to call me to be friends. I'm telling you that there's a transaction happened in front of my house. Nothing happened. You get involved in these situations and you get yourself killed. I don't think that the people said that we don't care. I think that you have to really realize that you have your own life, you have your own children, and you have things that you have to be concerned about, too. And there's things out there.
Indeed, and I did mention that a lot of today's societies. Cola, I see you there. I'll be bringing you in just a minute. I did mention that the society, the environment, the way of thinking has changed for other reasons that are legitimate reasons. For example, like you just said, you're sitting there and you're telling who you're supposed to be able to trust to keep the community safe and protect and serve. You're telling them. And they're busy, like you said, either they're stereotyping or they're racial profiling or they're making a quota or whatever. And then the first thing they want to do when someone says that out loud is find a way to figure out a way to arrest you. I understand that part. Now, I'm going to make reference to a video that was just spread across Facebook maybe about a few days or a week ago. Okay. Two young ladies are in, I don't know if it was a White Castle or Popeyes, but something to that effect. Now, there's a bunch of other people standing around there, and a few of them were some grown guys, okay? Rather than stop these young girls from embarrassing themselves because their thongs were showing, they're not saying that it was something to see, you know, but on the same token, more than worrying about the girls getting hurt or them, their food getting spilled on the floor and somebody else getting hurt after that. Everybody was more bloodthirsty to see these girls' anatomies, and on top of that, to be able to pass it around. Everybody's an upload freak now, you know? So they're busy taking video camera footage and cheering these girls on. Meanwhile, this girl just got stomped in her head on camera.
Not excusing their behavior. Unfortunately, we have a medium that's allowing these wannabe celebrities, and they go and they post their videos on these certain websites that you know about because they want to be famous in some way, you know, and people orchestrate fights and create drama just for the sake of having something to produce so that they can put it on television or on one of these video things that they have out now. I don't want to give their names out because I'm not trying to give them any kind of publicity.
No, indeed. I agree with you on that. And like I said to the caller that's waiting, I'll be right with you. One of the things that I wanted to point out in that respect, though, and that's with regard to that particular example, okay, is this. While you spoke about telling a police officer about a drug deal that was taking place in front of your house. Now, one of the things that's sad as it is that a lot of these officers are looking more for what they call an instant urgency or an immediate emergency. That was one. There's a girl getting her head stomped on a concrete floor in a public facility. If you're going to grab your kid from eating their hamburger and run the hell out of the store and you see a cop walking, that would be a time that I don't think they would be able to stop and ask you for your identity. You pointing inside of a facility where there's a crime in progress that people are actually going to get hurt, weapons could be there, That is considered a high priority. And as much as there are, you know, jackbutt officers out there, in that particular instance, I don't think that they could. Now, you're not going to go out there and try to sit there and watch what the cops do after, but you definitely want to at least know that you walked away from that situation with a little bit of having done what you could do.
Well, let's keep
and,
it, and let's be very honest about it, since you're bringing it up, right?
Indeed.
We're living in a community where the majority of the officers who work in our communities don't live in our community, so they don't care about us. It's just a fact. They're not black. They don't care. I'm generalizing because, of course, there's always one or two that don't fit their profile, but the majority of them don't care about what's happening in the community. They don't care. It's not in their community. So,
not in my backyard. This is definitely what we're talking about tonight. Not in my backyard. Let them little animals take care of themselves as long as they don't come to Suffolk County in New York or to the White House in Washington.
And we allow it to occur.
I've gotten involved
in certain things, too. I've gotten involved in certain things and spoke about certain things. But you always thinking in the back of your mind, if you step up, if you speak out, what will be the retaliation that happens to you? Because at the end of the day, you have your own life that you have to live to. You have your own family and loved ones who you want to get home to as well. And so let's be very clear. No one wants to see anyone get hurt. I don't believe so. At the same time, too, no one wants to get involved and then get hurt themselves. Just recently, a couple of days ago, a baby was shot and killed by accident because somebody was trying to shoot the father. There's always a second party that gets involved and gets hurt. And we have to keep that in mind. It's not always as simple as let's get involved, because sometimes you want to get involved, but you don't know that it's safe to get involved.
Okay.
I agree with you. And they make it very easy with these video shows that they have out now that allow you to bring forth your video or your cell phone information of some like girls fighting and little girls cursing each other and fighting and stuff like that, and they promote this kind of behavior. So perhaps there's something that needs to be done about what they are allowing to happen over the air. No one is accountable to it. The people who are producing these kind of programs don't have to hold an account to anyone. And it makes the young people and people who are willing and desperate to kind of want to feel validated and feel important, is giving them a medium to go to. I'm not excusing any of the behavior. I think it's scary and it's sad. And we don't have to worry about anyone taking us out. We're taking each other out. But on the other hand, I understand completely the second thought of, should I say something? Should I get involved? Because at the end of the day, your life, it could be your life.
Absolutely. And that is why the NIMBY disease does not have to apply to you being a fool about situations, okay? But there are certain things that can be spoke about, because, see, enough of the, this is just the way it is, this boys will be boys, girls are going to be girls, that person is going to grow up and do this and do that, they're just going to wind up dead or in jail, this and this, and this is the way that we're walking around, saying to ourselves, well, it is what it is, what can I do about it? Hello, you have a voting pass, don't you? Hello, don't you have a councilman's office that's right over a Popeye somewhere in your local walking town or bus stop away? I know I do, and I know I wouldn't know what that man's face looked like if their face wasn't plastered all over the wall until it comes time for voting.
Okay.
That is something that our panelist, Deacon Zeddy Williams, mentions all the time, him being an activist as he is. You know, all the time. Everybody is thinking a little too much in the narrow mind. Listen, what about everybody making noise until something happens about that abandoned building that you could see all the crimes taking place in? About the dark all debris of lots that's sitting around on every other corner of your particular neighborhood that kids are being thrown into or being had to cut through as a shortcut to their home. Because the alternative is to go around the long way, take a little longer to get home, and have the increased opportunity of running into more problems. It's not about always walking up and just showing your face or giving your name or whatever the case is. It's about fighting it the way that it counts. Maybe it's not going to happen overnight, but nothing that lasts usually does.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just trying to put a spin on the other end of it also.
I'm with you.
We want to get involved. We want to put a stop to a lot of it. We want to hold our politicians and those people accountable for the things that they're not doing and for only showing their faces when election time comes. They only want to come to the churches when they want you to vote, and they only want to go to the schools when they want the parents to come to see them. You know that. But at the end, you walk home, and you want to make it home. And I think that you have to use good judgment in everything that you're doing. Everybody at the sound of our voice listening to this conversation right now, I believe, wants to be involved, wants to have a safer community, wants to be able to be outside with their children, nephews and nieces and grandmothers and grandfathers and lovers and friends and enjoy themselves without the fear of being hurt. At the same time, too, there is no one policing properly. You have the police harassing the good people while the people who aren't doing the right thing are out there doing what the hell they want to do, and nothing is happening to them, you know? And then there's always somebody ready to tell on somebody else also. We as black people have to be better at how we treat our community, how we treat one another. There's a young lady who lived in a building when I was living in Harlem, was getting her ass beat, pardon my language, regularly, and it was right by next door to me. I would hear it when I came home from work. I'll call a security guard downstairs, and he tells me, well, what do you want me to do? I said, well, I was assuming that you would come upstairs and check on a girl. So I ended up calling the police myself, and if the police came, then I'm a white midget. And you know that. You know I'm not white, nor am I a midget, right?
No, yeah. You're not. He's very tall, could be a basketball player, and he's not white at all. I got you. Well, I will say this, okay? Yes, everything has to be done with sense and sensibility, and that applies to everything. We spoke yesterday about, you know, the arts in schools being taken away and how that affects the self-esteem. It also affects the way people have options. Now, I walked into my neighborhood for the last 2 days. You know, I will say again, a shout out to my children's grandmother and to grandmothers everywhere, because this was a particular day, not yesterday, Labor Day and yesterday as well. But I got a feel about, you know, a few things that was going on with a couple of kids that I saw sitting in the local park. And it was four girls sitting there. One of them looked sad. Now, from the direction she was placed, looked in, you know, facing me, I didn't originally see the bruise that she had on her jaw and on the top of her arm or the forearm. And I hear these girls talking, and, you know, I had a little moment to myself, which is a rarity, and I'm hearing one of the girls tell the girl that was crying, oh, you know what, you need to leave that scrub alone because you're beautiful. And this young girl turned and said, I'm not beautiful because people don't hurt or destroy beautiful things.
Okay.
All right, now.
I'm in a second spot.
And I'm sitting here. I'm sitting there, and it nearly broke my heart because, you know, I've shared this with the panel before. I grew up with a bad situation throughout most of my life, and I wind up choosing partners in my life that wind up doing the same thing, if not worse, because, you know, getting involved with, you know, the adult relationship in your life, other things come into play with that. So I'm listening. So I walk up, and I pretended I needed to know what time it was, and I asked these girls, well, you know, you look kind of sad. How are you? And, you know, how old are you girls? And they all told me the oldest one in the group out of the four girls was 15 years old. 15. But the girl that was hurt, which when I looked at her, she had a bruise on her face clearly done by another individual. Okay? And the arm print on her arm, clearly with somebody grabbing her to the point of you know, bruising her. And I mentioned to her that, you know, don't ever let anybody take away what God made you and make you think that you have to alter yourself, okay, to be accepted by anyone, because you're beautiful as you are. And I said that because I felt like, how dare this young child be in a situation at somebody's mercy or somebody's feeling or of self-entitlement to judge. The same way that I, as a grown woman who's been there, done that, walked the walk of life, and felt that way about myself because I went through it. There's no way this child at 14 should even be thinking that. So the first thing I asked him was, what on earth would make you think that at 14 you should be involved with the relationship anyway? I said, just curious, like, you know, I said, and then I explained who I was and what I do and that I'm about youth advocacy and stuff like that. And she told me, you know, my mom is a single mother, and don't get me wrong, my mom has nothing to do with anything bad. I'm not going to give you that type of story. But, you know, I don't get to see my mom very often, and I understand she has to work and everything. Then she said before, I used to be able to go to the piano class and to the dance class, and now they took that away, which brought me back up to my previous segment about all the budget cuts that's affecting the poor, the minorities, and the youth. So I said to her, so you're telling me that when you were dealing with piano and dealing with dance, you didn't think boys? She goes, it's not like I wasn't looking. I mean, we all do, you know, but I wasn't interested in ruining what I was accomplishing there. I loved being in dance more. I loved being in the piano class more. So I thought about it, which prompted yesterday's subject. So I thought about it, and I said, so if you had something to do, what did the arts do for you? And she said, it made me feel like, you know, I had an escape, and that I was really good at playing the piano and the dancing, and I really enjoyed it. We were a team. We were a family. The teacher was wonderful. The other teacher made me feel like I could do anything. And I said, you see, this is what they don't seem to get up in Washington when they're cutting these things and just looking at us as a general blanket. And
I
then,
I don't agree with. I don't think that they don't get it. I think they don't care. They don't care. It's not a priority to them. It's not children, like you said. It's not in their backyard. I want to quickly say something to you. Two young girls talking in a restaurant. They could have been no more than 12 or 13, and they ran into the restaurant really quickly. Might have been three of them, and the girl was thanking the other girl for being the lookout for her, while for her mom coming in the house while she had boys in her room doing her. She was what they call having a train run on her.
And right.
Thank God that you called me before my mother came in, and they were laughing. And do you remember when we were younger, we cared about the thing? I mean, we said some things that we shouldn't have said, but we cared about what we said in front of people who were older than we were.
There was yes.
That we would not say. This generation doesn't seem to care. And I'm not saying that it's all their fault, but what I am saying is that it makes you think, what can I do? Because if you say the wrong thing, it could be the last thing that you say.
Indeed. Our other panelist has been waiting patiently in the sidelines, so I want to welcome him into the discussion. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. How are you? How's everybody? God bless you and your families.
God bless you, too. I hope you're feeling better, because I know yesterday you inboxed me and told me you wouldn't be able to join us. So
yeah.
I'm glad you're back. And if you've been listening in, please shine
in. Oh, yeah, the conversation has really piqued my interest. With the way things are today in today's society, there's quite a few problems that I would like to hit on. And first and foremost is that the generation of mothers and fathers. A lot of people today want to blame these children, and it's really not their fault on what's going on with them and what's happening with them in their lives today. First of all, you got to look at the drug problems that we have. A lot of these young people are having these children. They're putting all these drugs in their system, and they're just going into these babies. Now, as these parents have these children, as they get older, there's still traces of that drug in their system, especially the crack babies that at around this time right now, they're either teenagers or they're in grade school, and people are not paying attention to what's actually happening to these kids. All they're doing is this is the outcome from all this widespread of drug use that's going on, and it's affecting these kids. And the way that the attitudes of people are looking at things, well, it's not in my backyard and don't concern me. Anything that happens in your community, be it negative or positive, but I would rather have positive things happening in my community than the negative. If you disregard the negative, it's going to keep happening, it's going to keep growing just like a wild weed. And if you don't act on it as a group of people like it used to be when we were coming up, like the saying, and it still stands true today, it takes a village to raise a child, which it still does. And see, now you have so many people that's gotten caught up in this fear. Now, maybe there's something wrong with me mentally, but I never had a problem with fear, even as a young man. And my mother at one time took me to a psychiatrist because she thought something was wrong with me, because I had very little fear of anything. You know, so, and I still look at it like that. Sometimes I run into situations to where it's dealing with some young people, and they were like, well, who the hell is this guy? I was like, well, I'll let them know who I am and tell them. I said, like, you know, I don't have any fear, and the people that you're used to dealing with are afraid of you. I'm not afraid of none of you. I said, and let me make this perfectly clear. I have not been saved all my life. So I used to be one of you out here on these streets. So if you're thinking that you're going to strike fear in me, that's another thing coming. You know, so my thing is that we need to come together as a group of people, not as just one race, as a group of people, no color, no race or anything, and just come together and start getting things together, because if not, we're heading to hell in a handbag. You know, and first of all, our first priority needs to be the children that are coming up in the world. You know, it seems like there were more caring people around. There was a foundation that was set for us. What type of foundation are we setting for these young kids that are coming up today? Somewhere, you can't blame these children, because somewhere we as the elders of today dropped that ball somewhere. And we have to find that ball and pick it back up and take the lead and take back charge. It's as simple as that. You know, everybody's running around thinking, well, why are these things happening? Well, we bring it on ourselves. When you start taking the word of God out of your life, who is supposed to be first and foremost in your lives, negative things like this happen. The enemy runs rampant, and we allow it to happen. But if we get back to the basics and get back to our solid foundation that we were all raised on, things would start to change. You see, you have to work at change in order for you to get change. That's the only way you're going to start things to change. And show these knuckleheads out here that they're not the ones in charge at all.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed,
I'm not
sir.
Disagreeing with you at all, Deke. And Katie, I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying. Yes, there's an obligation that we have to have as elders or soon-to-be elders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like an elder. My birthday's coming up on Sunday. I'll be 45 years old, and I can't even believe it.
Well, you know what? You know what? You're just like a bottle of wine. You get better with time.
Well, I was, thank you. But I was saying that to say that time – It goes by so swiftly. I don't know if the youth really understand or recognize how
right.
Time moves so fast, and what you do today will affect you possibly for the rest of your life.
Right.
But fear is natural.
Mm-hmm.
You can also save your life also. You know, caution and fear can also keep you from making certain mistakes. I've never
mm-hmm.
been... I've never used drugs or never drank or anything because I was afraid of what the outcome were, and I watched how some of my peers were going down the wrong way, and I just made a different decision because I didn't know what that was going to be like, and I didn't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
scared of my father, too. There's no father around now. And if there's a father around, he's 15. He's 16. Yeah. So daddy is a young boy. Mama's a young girl. Grandma is only 36. So big mama in my lifetime, she was 70. Big mama is nowhere anymore. Big mama's not around anymore. And the kids are just different. And I'm not saying that we have to blame the young people, but what I am saying is that everyone has to be accountable. And even young people, if you're listening out there, yes, even you have to be accountable for the things
that
you did, regardless of whether or not daddy and mommy wasn't there, regardless of whether or not you didn't have the things that you were supposed to have. Everyone knows right from wrong, and we have to not use that as an excuse anymore. Being young is not an excuse anymore because the police are killing you, as Trayvon Martin. They don't care. They don't care about your youth and your naivety. They will take you out. So you have to use wisdom and good judgment. And I just pray and hope that we all collectively, and yes, it does have to do with race too. I'm not so concerned about every other race. My people, I love my people, and I want us to get it. I want us to recognize what's wrong with us and fix it and stop excusing what's wrong with everybody else and they're doing it. Why can't we? We can't afford to do that anymore. So, yes, we as black, brown people, we have to get ourselves together. We have to get ourselves together.
Yes, we do. We do. And I will say this, okay? Enough of the excuses as a people, period, okay? Enough of the excuses as this is just the way it is. Oh, well, there's nothing we could do about it. There is something you could do about it. I agree with you, Charles. Not to run into a drug dealer's face wielding a gun and go, hey, you, stop shooting. Not to say, you know, to this, you know, young man, you shouldn't do that because, you know, you never know what type of, you never know what type of mentality that person has. But walking out the door and saying, I don't like a liquor store on like on every two corners of my block. I don't like that there's three abandoned buildings, okay, on my block because I've watched the kids go in there after school and they come out either having sex or smoking drugs or doing things they shouldn't be doing there. You know, these are the things that you fight for. Are they going to listen right away? Well, if they haven't before, you're not going to get it, but make enough noise. And Deacon Williams, I totally agree with you.
Keep in mind too, and I know that we as black men have not done all that we need to do with black women and for our children. So I'm not in no way trying to throw anyone under the bus. But I've watched this time and time again. Single mom has a young teenage boy who's selling drugs and he's buying her all these gifts and she's accepting them, knowing that he doesn't work, that he's not going to school. How is he affording to buy you a washer and dryer? How is he affording to buy you jewelry for Mother's Day and all these things like that? No one's asking any questions. You're sitting back and you're allowing these things to happen in your household. You're hiding.
Correct. Them. Correct.
And not only that, too, you got grandparents who are now leasing apartments forcefully so that they can let the grandkids move into there, and now landlords can't even get you out of the house because you got these young kids causing a muck in the house now, you know. So everyone is involved, and we have to hold ourselves accountable. I know that there are other ethnicities that are in trouble, but I'm not so concerned about other ethnicities at this moment. I'm talking about we as African American people. We have to do better by what we do for each other, by each other. We have to do better.
Yes, we do. Yes,
okay,
we do.
There was something that was said to me, and it really stuck with me. And what said was, what you feed the most is what will live the most. So we're in a battle with the battle between flesh and spirit. So whichever one of those you feed the most is the one that's going to live the most. And like in the way it seems today is that we have a lot of people that are feeding that flesh and thinking about themselves. You have to get off of self a lot of times and just get right. You just have to get right. Because if you sit back, and it's just like sitting back and knowing that you're ill, knowing that you have a disease, and you're sitting around and you're complaining about it, but what are you doing about it? God has blessed us with doctors who he has blessed with talents to heal, to help heal. And if you don't go get something to done with that situation that you're in, you're going to die. And the way the generation is, they want to call it the lost generation. I don't believe it's the lost generation, because there were people in my life when I was coming up thought that I was lost. But God thought different. You know, he saw, everybody saw the worst in me, but he saw the best. And that's what we got to start instilling in some of these young people, because a lot of these young people that are out here that are not doing the right thing or getting into negative things, nobody's taking the time to let them know it. And I talk to some of these young people, and they tell me that the problem is they feel like don't nobody care about them. You know, they don't feel love.
Indeed, I get that too. And as I said, speaking with those children in the park over the last couple of days, yes. And no, under no circumstances am I saying that it's just any one thing. But there is no longer that village that raised a child involved anymore. There really isn't. And you know something? Let's take it past the bad houses. So the people that used to be alternative, where are the church leaders?
Yeah.
Okay. Where are the instructors for the local communities agencies that used to be open? What happened to the after school camps, the centers, the YMCA?
We know what's going on with them. We know what's going on with them. The cutbacks, taking bribes under the table, teachers are school kids.
I beg to differ on one part with that one. Charles, I beg to differ on one part with that one. I get the community leaders, I get the businesses, I get the politicians even, because they've been known to just be promise makers that don't do anything. But church leaders are not allowed to talk about economy. They're not allowed to talk about we got to close down for anything, because they answer to a higher power. And their job is supposed to be above what the world is.
Obviously, they don't. A title doesn't mean nothing. Anyone can put a title in front of their name.
Indeed. I don't disagree. But, you know,
and
we all know everybody's human.
Alone, they are closing hospitals down ridiculously. How can you afford to close down a hospital in any community?
Not in my backyard. That's why.
And we don't say anything. We allow it to happen.
That is the problem. That is exactly what tonight's thing is about, what tonight's topic is about. That is the problem. Because if the hospital visit I don't go to, so why does it bother me? But what happens if you should fall, get hurt, get sick, fall out, have a heart attack right where that hospital used to be? Now it's in your backyard. What happens if somebody that, you know, is about to drop dead in front of your house, where if anything happens on your property, as a homeowner, you're liable or you're responsible? And I'm sure that then it would matter to you, because you know what? Now you're a homeowner. Now you didn't quite get around to fixing that crack in front of your driveway. Okay, now somebody came along just before you got the time to go take care of it. And they fell. And I would believe that at that moment, you as a homeowner would try to get the medical care as quickly as possible to limit the damage to what they suffered, right? But I could guarantee you that at the time they were talking about closing that very local hospital, NIMBY disease took over. Okay?
It's kind of interesting now that we're having the mayor candidates now discussing a lot of topics now, and everybody's talking about this now. No one was speaking about it months and months ago. Now it's the hot topic now, because they think this is going to get them in. Black people, read between the lines. If they haven't been speaking about it before now, do not vote for them. Do not put these
people
in office if they're just on a bandwagon just to get on now. Use your common sense when you're voting. Go out and vote. Don't think your voice doesn't matter, because it does. And we just have to pray that God will intercede and we will be better. We will do better, and we will recognize what our parts are. I'm nervous because I see it, and I have faith, but sometimes I'm not sure.
Are you okay, dude? Yes, we're here. We can hear you. You can hear us?
I'm hanging in there. How about yourself? This is my nephew, right? This is my nephew, right? Yeah. Oh, man. How you doing, man?
Okay. Hello?
Well, I'm still here.
I will say, he's with us. Just a little bit of a connection we're working on right now. I agree with you. You know, we are in trouble. And, you know, what has already been, you know, the woes and throes of the African-American race is now it's the same thing. It's not worse, just that now they're not allowed to openly billy club you. We get that. I'm still saying that as humans, as people.
They are allowed.
You know,
are you serious? They are doing it. They are allowed to do it. And they
get
old.
I believe that we have to remember that regardless to whether it's directly in your home or directly in your pathway, that if it's in your surrounding area, it eventually does deal with you. You know, having Mayor Bloomberg in for New York City buy himself a third term where the Constitution and all other rules about election never existed, but suddenly money talked and BS walked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but nobody was concerned with it because nobody gave a damn enough to sit there and try to look for a real candidate that could do the job.
Well, let's see what happens during this election. We'll see, because I've been watching them, and they're all saying the same thing, but they just so happen to be saying it now that election is happening.
Well, that's what they always do, though. There's nothing new about that. How many times have you seen such big black parties and, you know, celebrating politicians that you only know by a ballot? You ever go to the voting booth and you know who Obama was, you knew who the vice president was, but all the names underneath afterwards, what the hell did you know about them? Who was the judge in your area? Really, did you know them? No. You just knew that they said Democrat and they were the judge and it was for this court and that was it.
Well,
I remember
the answer then, because the answer isn't church. Sorry, the answer is not church. The answer is not in church, because you have more crime and more crookedness going there than any place else. And I'm not bashing church. I think it's important. It was a safe haven for us when we were growing up, but it's not the same as it were when we were growing up. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
So what do we do now? Okay,
It wasn't more on the religious standpoint that I was speaking about with regards to church leaders closing their doors. Really, as much as that's exactly what it's about, the point was church was the ultimate option for people that was suffering out there and didn't know where to go. Think about it. Back in the days when the churches would be open and Catholic rectories were open all night and things that affect, even criminals struggling with some conflict with themselves could have just shot somebody and went into the church because something about it bothered them that day. Okay, now I'm seeing more preachers wearing better bling on their finger than the jeweler they came from. Now I'm seeing more reality church shows than I'm seeing reality TV shows. And you know something? Most of them are not non-African Americans, to be honest with you.
But I'm not concerned about what the other people are doing. We're talking about us and in our communities. And I think we have to get out of the way of what other people are doing. We don't have to do what everyone else is doing.
Well, in the same token, we don't have to sit by and keep on saying it is what it is.
Saying that either, but what I'm saying is, what do you do? Because you do want to be of service. You do want to be of help. You do want to make sure that your communities are safe. You sure want to make sure that where you live at is comfortable and safe with the people that are coming in here. But what do you do? What do you do? Because it seems like the person who complains is the one who gets the bullet in the head.
Well, how about maybe you don't complain to the people you know are not going to do anything because you are. How about, like I said, you start making enough noise that, you know, if you can't fight the crime itself, they said, you ever heard that saying that prevention is the best medicine? So if you don't want to walk up and go up to Big Bubba, the crack lord, then by all means, go down to your local city chambers and tell them that there's a damn building that needs to come down and tell your damn neighbors to start getting off their butts from the windows and signing something. Maybe you could get down there and hear it talk. You know, start actually attending a town hall meeting or a community center meeting.
Okay.
You know, start trying to hear what somebody else may have discovered that may have had the guts to do something you don't do. And maybe you might get guts by association.
And I want to give you a shout out, because I think that your voice is important, because what you're doing now is letting the voice of a community be heard. And it's not something that's done on radio or blog radio or talk shows, unless it's political correct, you know. So I wanted to say you give big props for what you're doing and for caring about your people and looking from outside of your household and loving on us the way that you do. and I want to tell you that I'm very proud of you.
I appreciate that very much, and I thank God for that because he definitely put this mission in me a while ago. I'm a mother. I served in the PTA. I served with, but you know, with Dad, when Dad was doing certain things, it's always been about me with the youth. The youth is our future, all right? You know that Dad used to say all the time, half of you are half dead, and the, you know, with one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel. All right? And that's definitely the way it is. No matter how much people can, you know, get rejuvenating creams and, you know, revitalizing Viagra pills and whatever, God has it slated that after a certain time, the body, the age, and life is going to go. You can't stop it. You can look good doing it, but you can't stop it. And your time, everybody has a cycle, and everybody's cycle time comes to an end at some point. It's your job to leave the best you can leave behind. And these children are at the point where, you know, I don't know who I am, who I'm supposed to be. Everybody's telling me I should be Miley. Everybody's telling me I needed to be Michael Jackson. Everybody's telling me I should do this, that, and all, and the other. This is the things that they're saying. You understand? Everybody's saying that. And yet, you know, the few parents that are still sitting up there trying to be Big Mama, or from the Big Mama age, is having the fight of their life. Because why? How are is your child going to understand what you're saying as truth or as not right or as wrong when it's all over the place? Billboards are showing girls way down, you know, looking like they're 22 when they're 13. Miley Cyrus is taking foam sports fingers and gyrating or masturbating practically on stage. You know, Robin Thicke, Mr., you know, Pure America's son, is busy cheating on his wife with a fan. You know, all of this is a trend to these kids. All of this is a trend. So exactly what the hell is Mom and Dad talking about? And I like I said, you haven't been on my show when I've brought this up, but my motto in this house is, you know, when I get this, well, Ma, what are you talking about? It's 2013. Who does that anymore? And you know what I tell them? Out there, it's 2013. I don't control the world. In my house, it's 1986, and I'm the boss. Okay? That's just the way it is. I'm still looking at Madonna and Cyndi Lauper. Anything else? Uzo Wiz Khalifa? Not very much of a whiz. He's an idiot. You know, these are the things that I would say, what I hear. The music is crap, and if the only good music that's out nowadays is what they stole from the old days. You know, which I think P. Diddy, that was his big, big hook. Take all the old classic tunes and then, you know, throw a rapper on it. Gotta give it to him, though. He was business sense and business savvy. But what I'm saying is nothing nowadays that's worth anything is worth it on its own merit. It comes from having samples of Diana Ross and The Temptations and Michael Jackson. Nobody has their own sound anymore. Not anybody.
Well, and they're just not publicized, that's all. But thanks to you and other people like you, you have young artists out here that won't get an opportunity to be heard. You're promoting and sharing music that wouldn't normally be able to be heard. So you get props for that, too. So, I mean, maybe there's a chance for us. Not maybe. I believe that God has favor over our people. We are the original people of the planet, and I believe that God has favor over us. I just think that sometimes you get to get discouraged.
Go ahead, Deacon.
You know, I have to apologize for I was taken away for a minute, but, you know, it just struck me. I just had my nephew call me from a state penitentiary. And when I was coming up, I wasn't the role model, and it's making me really, realized this some years ago, that I should have been a better example for him, because when he looked at me one day and told me that, Uncle John, I really looked up to you, you know, and I respect you, and I always wanted to be like you. And when I thought about it, I said, wow, I look back on some of the things I used to do and the person I used to be, and I apologized to him. I said, you know, during that time, I wasn't thinking about anybody but myself, and I should have been thinking about you because you were younger, and I didn't pay no attention to how much you was watching me and kept your eyes on me and the things that I was doing with my life.
And you were
and
young.
It had a negative effect on him, and now he's doing
young.
25 years in the penitentiary.
You were young, too.
Because he wanted to do some of the things that he saw me doing, and I wasn't paying that no attention to, and to have the negative effect on him that I did, I tell him every time I get a chance to talk to him how sorry I am and how I should have been a better example or a better role model for him.
Well, it's never
too
late.
Yeah, it's never too late. And like I say,
you were younger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you were doing what you saw your elders, young people do also. So, I mean, you forgive yourself.
And see, what's more important than anything to me is that I know God forgives me.
Of course.
And that's why I know I can never go back to being that person, and that's why I will dedicate the rest of my life that he allows me to breathe on this earth to try and do something positive for any young person that I may meet. You know, because I feel like I owe that to God, and I owe it to myself. You know, because a lot of people, that's what's wrong with a lot of people. They need to realize the effect. You have to be aware of the eyes that are on you, the young eyes that are on you. And if you're not being a negative person, if you're being a negative person in their lives, that's what they're gonna turn out to be the same way. You know, so be careful of the reflection that you project in somebody's mind.
You know, gentlemen, I just want to interject on that. Deacon, let me say something else to you, okay? Yes, Charles, you're correct. He was young, and everybody has to go through their rite of passage to understand their milestones. They have to go through their trial and error. But, Deacon, here's the good thing about that as well, and to you, Charles, and to myself as well. We are the last of the generation that can understand that we should have been better, or we can reflect back on what we could have improved. Our children nowadays are not in that they don't have that luxury. We don't have the nose deepers anymore that, you know, used to sit in their window with their curlers and shaking their heads whenever a girl had a pair of shorts that was just above her knees. You know, we don't have the teachers, like I said before, that care about taking out that red pen. They're sending you to spell check and giving you fours for something that should be a one or a zero. Okay, we don't have the church leaders opening their doors anymore, as you said. Yes, you know, I get it. We all had to learn how to be better people if by having first been not so great. But we were afforded the balance so that we could learn that lesson. We had the arts. We had the ministers. We had the nosy neighbors. We had the generous neighbors that would let your mother drop you off on our way to the store, so that, you know, she can get a real quick run to the store and the kids would still be cared for. We had all of that. We had teachers that wasn't busy looking at you, and because you were tall and you wore a headband and you had a hearing in your ear, that you were already considered trouble before you sat in your seat.
Yeah.
Okay, that's happening now. We didn't have politicians busy steadily, you know, making a deliberate move toward cutting out everything that there is. As I said in a previous segment, it seems like all these budget cuts are headed for minority genocide.
Of course. Of course. It's,
okay,
it's,
they
it's
want
deliberate.
To get rid of anything
not
that's
accident.
Not...
It's not by accident. It's deliberate.
Yeah,
that's what I just said. They're making a deliberate, you know, guided missile attack, you know. And the thing is that we are all sitting back there, and what we're listening for is what our everyday needs are. We're listening for whether they're going to cut health care. We're listening to whether they're going to cut out, you know, welfare. We're listening to whether they're going to cut the rental housing programs. We're not listening to the fact that they're going to take away the buildings that you knew for years when you first moved there with your husband before your kids were born, before they grew up and had to grandkids. We're not thinking about that. We're not thinking about the fact that they want to tear down cherished history and historical landmarks because they've got a group of people coming in from the outside that they want to give housing to make what they feel looks like civilization. They did it to the Indians.
And I
what they deemed civilized.
If you don't have much, whatever you, and anyone who's listening, and I know you have a lot of followers, congratulations. Listening to your radio station, wherever you are in your life, respect and take care of what you have, regardless if it's not much. We didn't have a lot when we were growing up, but we took care of what we had.
Yeah.
And take care of what you have, because if you don't, God won't bless you with nothing more.
Amen.
I tell tell that to my children all the time when they want to grow up and be like, okay, my son's talking about he's going to be 17, he wants to get a car. I said, well, how are you going to handle a car when you don't handle your room?
Uh-oh.
If you don't take care of your room and you don't know how to follow your daily chores and protocol and keep your grades up and do whatever, the things that you are obligated to do, the only things that you have to do when you're not deemed not a minor in the eyes of the law.
Yes.
If you can't handle something like cleaning your room and putting your laundry in a laundry basket, how are you going to handle going out on the road where you have to think for more than one person?
Yeah. And then how do you want and you don't earn?
Anything
that you get in life, you have to earn it. Yes.
That's the other problem with today's society. Because you know what? And you know what, though? I got to say this. Generation's thinking, okay, it comes from us, and I'm gonna tell you what I mean. I grew up, and we all grew up with the switch beatings, you know. And my mother was Puerto Rican; she can toss a shoe like John Wayne, you know. And wherever you were, no matter how fast of a head start you had, that shoe met you wherever you went. So I had that, but you know. As we always said before, Deacon, we understood that type of harshness came from a place of love because they would sit down and talk about it later. But now let's take those kids, let's take those children that didn't grow up with the after explanation about why that just took place. And so all they knew was the straight-up abusive part of it. Okay?
Right.
So here's the situation. As parents that went through that part, who didn't get the love and affection and the sweetness afterwards, what we tend to do is take in our mind that it was bad, and I don't want to be that type of parent to my child. And I know one of the mistakes I started making was allowing my children to voice their opinion about everything. And the thing is, listen, there were some things that you were told to do, and dare you have a question or a twisted mouth or a rolling of your eyes or a batting of your lashes without some consequence. Okay, now I get things like, but that's not fair, and that doesn't make sense, and that one gets me. So the thing is that in our effort of trying to give our kids what we felt was not so much of a harsh reality or a harsh communication, we wind up taking away the line that makes us parents and makes them children.
And some of it was harsh. I remember my grandmother telling me what used to happen to her when she was a child and how she was a bit rough, and how they used to step on your neck and beat you with an extension cord. That's abusive.
Yeah, like some things were extreme. Yes, I get it. You know, some things, I think back in the day, if there were real ACS workers that were doing the jobs for the job that it was meant to do, yes,
yes.
I think that our parents would have been locked up in convicts.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is a lot of that, okay, a lot of those things, we as this generation grew up saying, I don't want to do that to my children. I want to give my children the chance to say what they feel. Because understand, I told you, I also came from a situation where things that were happening to me that needed to be told and couldn't be told because it was either said, you keep it away from the public or you don't say it because you're a kid. You understand? And those things could have been traumatizing or could have happened and affected the way that people grew up. So I didn't want my children to ever feel that there was anything they couldn't say to me. The only problem is, as a child, not knowing that there's a limit to certain things are being said in a way where I have to go, oh, no. No, that's not what I meant. You know, and we wind up saying, oh, when I grew up, I couldn't afford a book bag, so I'm going to get you the light-up Bratz doll one. Oh, when I was growing up, those books were too heavy for me, so let me get you the rolling backpack. Oh, when I was growing up, my mother could only afford to open one cereal at a time. So when I go shopping, I'm going to get $5 for the cereal. Y'all could choose whichever one you want. Because we're not thinking that those little things make it so bad. But they do, because they wind up saying, well, give me back my phone, or let me have my iPod, or let me do this. And I got told by a professional once that the children need to understand that even the room that they live in belongs to you, and the fact that they have a room is a privilege extended by you. That it's you that went out there and got the apartment and pays the bills and makes sure they have it. And in the event that they don't want to take care of the privileged space that you entitled them to, you can gladly take it back and they could sleep where they don't need to do anything.
True, but
and I never understood that.
You can't also be putting the bills in your 5-year-old name either. So
huh?
Let's go there
yeah.
also. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no reason why little Junior, who's 4, should have a cell phone in his name because you
yeah.
are so bad.
Listen, I think that cell phones to a point. Listen, I've got a friend that has an 8-year-old daughter with a Facebook account. I think I go bananas. Okay.
No, I'm talking about it's your account, but it's in your children's name. That's what
okay.
I'm
that you know, people are still doing that after all this time. Come on.
Oh, you should. Still
you know, and your child is 11 years old with bad credit. I mean, give me a break.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I get that. I understand that. You know, that's really ridiculous. And that means that there was something at some point that didn't happen for you. But then again, let's look at other certain situations, too. You never know. They always say, looking at a person and hearing their story, you don't know what their journey was like.
No,
you know,
I understand. I don't think we're just discussing it. We're not judging people. We're just throwing the topics out there because we want
right.
everyone to analyze where you are and take a good look at where you are. I'm doing it every day, asking myself, what are you doing? What are you not doing to make yourself better? There are a lot of things that I've done that weren't the best. I've apologized. I've forgiven myself. I've asked for forgiveness, and you move on. But a lot of people aren't even willing to do that. And I think that there's still a chance. There's still a promise. God hasn't forsaken us. And I think that we still have an opportunity to evolve to what we're supposed to be. But I think it doesn't happen if you don't first acknowledge what the issues really are. So that's why I'm so happy that you have this dialogue happening, because now we can discuss it. And even if there are people who aren't able to call, they're listening.
Right.
Check out your own life and see what's going on, what you can see in your life, you know?
Yeah, and to reattribute back to tonight's topic, you know, walking around thinking of your specific space, okay, what affects your house, what affects your car, what affects your job, not the jobs on a whole, not cars on a whole, but you and yours, you know, what affects your backyard, literally and proverbially. Okay, this is, it takes a village to raise a child. It also takes a team to run the world. So, you know, the things that go wrong, they may not affect you directly now. Maybe there's not, you know, a guy at the door saying that, you know, you, Charles, your stuff is going to get cut. But whatever it is that you need to get by with, you know, if it's cut, and eventually down the line it comes from, how many of us have certain investments, those of us that are fortunate enough to do that, 401ks? And you think about, hey, I put that in there, it can't be touched. One day when I need it, I'll get it. But now they're trying to even affect that. People are getting to the point where they're feeling like, you know, even the banks are in trouble now. If a first world country like America is talking about being in debt, and we're starting to sell out of the very foundation that we were built on, because now those very people who used to once beg for the privilege to be on our land is now people that we are compromising our standards for because we're in debt to them. I mean, you know, it would be nice if they would stop outsourcing the jobs of our military weapons and letting them know our strategy that they could use against us. That would be nice. It would be nice if they would stop saying that we have a high unemployment rate when they're giving away all the damn jobs to people overseas. It would be nice if they would stop making the standard expectations bar so hard for the people in their own country and so easy for the people outside, because they're thinking about how many pennies they can put back in the trillion-dollar debt. It would be nice. It would be nice if these very rich people who have all these big corporations would start opening up opportunities for us to first refertilize our own gardens before we start going out like Big Bad America saving the world. You understand? If how on earth are you saying we have no jobs when the most viable workforce there is, women, are being told to go back and make babies and cook? How is it that you're telling these children you got to strive to do something better, but when you get out of high school, you could even go to 2 years of college, but your associate's degree is like graduating high school. So don't even bother till you come back with a bachelor's. Oh, but wait. If you can't afford to pay for your own bachelor's degree program, don't come looking to us. Oh, but wait. you still need to have a little more experience with that. So let's see. Go to school for all that time, full time, because it's the only way you're going to get a real bachelor's. Oh, wait a minute. You actually survived all this chaos in this youthful society and made something of yourself in college? Sorry, you just got an associate's degree. Come back when you got a little more experience. Oh, but you need a job to pay for it, too. But you can't get a job if you got to study. You can't get studies if you have no money to pay for the classes. And when you get out, your associate's degree really is like getting a GED. Round and round the mulberry bush.
Well, we'll figure it out. Everybody take heed to where they are in their lives and what's going on in their lives. And please stop referring to your children as little bitches and little niggas. I am so tired of hearing that, too. If you want to discuss low self-esteem, it starts with how you speak to your children also.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
Listen, we need to start doing a little more than just saying we're going to figure it out. We may not be able to do the big things, but you know what? Every little brick starts the building of a home. And the way I feel is, if you can go to your councilman, start making noise. Be that nagging person that they try to hide in the office from. Okay? The one that you're trying to tell the secretary to make you take a message for. Be that person that says, no, thank you. I'll sit right here because I have the time to do it. You know? Be that person to make the noise for programs and for things that like tearing down buildings that allow people to go run and hide from the police with. Or bring your little girls in there and can't be found for days, and when you do find her, she's been raped and cut up. Or been initiated into some gang to be their hoochie and have to run a train or play the numbers game. For those of you who don't know what the numbers game, that's when a girl picks a number or rolls a dice, and whatever number comes up, in order for her to be initiated, that's how many men she has to sleep with. Start making these damn cops that are sitting out there watching a transaction in action. Look at their transaction and stop worrying about getting the big wig down the block because they made them look stupid by not being able to have a charge taken in the first place. Make them go back to real training and start remembering what being a police officer means. Make us go down to these town hall meetings and demand that. Okay? Make them say, if you're coming in here, we agree to gentrification. You're going to gentrificate us, not remodel for your people, and tell us to move from the place that we have called home for 35 years. Allow us, you know what, we may not be able to get the funding from the banks anymore to start a business, but there's a way to do it and still be legal about it, and the networking doesn't come from alone. Networking comes from mouth-to-mouth talking.
Okay.
Your girlfriend is a baker. She knows how to make cupcakes. You know how to make the aluminum pans. This one knows how to get a crowd together. One person knows how to get the invitations and the tables and the chairs for cheap. Somebody else knows how to go rent a venue or talk to somebody to make an even barter and trade, a service for a service. Somebody else is a little more creative in the mind on how to build a flyer and advertise and market. One person at a time, and all of this could take place right while you're all sitting in the park watching your little kiddies play on the slides. The biggest ideas for business, the biggest corporations have been built over a golf game or a game of cards. So don't tell me it is what it is. Is it going to be easy? Hell no. No, it's not. But whoever's looking for easy is not looking for everlasting. Whoever's looking for easy is not looking for longevity, because the two are not synonymous. They are not synonymous, not at all, not at all whatsoever. You cannot say that I want to be the best that I could be and give them the quick microwave Cliff Notes version of what you want to do. You can't keep on saying that our girls can be victims of sexual, you know, exploitation because boys will be boys. You can't keep on funding gentlemen's clubs and saying that this is okay to do while the people that's sitting up there giving these gentlemen the entertainment is your daughters, your nieces, and your granddaughters. Well, it's bringing in money, isn't it?
And pull your pants up, black boys.
Yeah, thank you. Stop
yeah.
giving the stop giving the idea that jail fashion is something to do. And you silly mothers and fathers that are out there going, oh, it's just a phase, they'll go through it. Why would you allow your African-American children, your children, period, okay, to glorify a style that was originated for people who are deemed to lose their freedom as a human because they committed a crime against humanity? Why would you allow them to express themselves by using a fashion that was known in jail for I'm available for you to be my man, be my daddy? And I'm watching all the people who went through jail being offended by it because they knew what it was like not to have the freedoms and the liberties as a human being in jail. And they had to fight their way and do their time to come out and be reestablished as anything again. Meanwhile, you're looking at the elders above them that actually walked the struggle of being smacked in the face by a white man because they were not considered anything. And being told, say something, I dare you. And nobody was able to say, you can't do that, you're going to get penalized. They're watching this, what they fought for in this younger generation be thrown to the wind like nothing they went through, losing their wives, losing their babies, losing their manhood, their pride. It doesn't mean anything.
I suggest to every young black person who's listening and every black person listening that you go to view the Butler. It's a long movie, but go to see The Butler. For those of you who may not have opened up a history book in a long time, just go to see that movie so that we can be reminded what our ancestors have had to go through. It's a long movie.
Yes.
Sneaking your food. But
There's a saying, if you don't know your past, you don't know your future. And a lot of these young people don't know nothing about their past, so there's no future for them. That's what they think. They need to start studying on our past, our heritage, and look back on some of the things and how some of our leaders that are no longer with us and stuff they had to go through for them to really realize what's going on.
Indeed. Gentlemen, I have to take a short break, okay? I will be back in about 4 minutes. Becky, I'm going to play the request you asked me for, Paramore, Ain't It Fun. See you guys back here in 4.5 minutes, okay? Hang out with me.
Okay, all right.
Thank you. it fun? Ain't it fun? Ain't it fun?
Those of you just joining us, we're talking about the NIMBY disease, no voice, no youth. We're speaking about people that have a single-minded mentality when it comes down to issues around them. We're speaking about people that are concerned with what affects their individual personal needs, and if they see anything around them, they won't step in to help. They won't look the same way. They'll turn the other way, and they'll keep it moving. And how, although that might be like an instant gratification, down the line, it affects you either way. We have our two wonderful, insightful panelists. Those of you know our regular Deacon Zeddy Williams, and we've had Charles come in now for two segments with great insight, and we're going to join them back now, and I appreciate all of you. I want, before I bring our panelists back in, to let those of you know that have just come in that we appreciate you, because our listener count is now up at 11,126. And for those of you coming in, a lot more live listeners now based on the reporting, not just archives anymore. A lot of you teeny boppers have been calling me in, listening. I appreciate it, because obviously you could be out there on the corner listening to some rap song that's telling you to go kill somebody or beat somebody, but you're listening to me, and I appreciate that. And to my two co-hosts that both have family emergencies tonight, I hope you get better, and God bless you. Gentlemen, you're back on the air. Let's get back into this conversation. I'm very intrigued. Starting with you, Deacon Williams, I want to ask you again. The things you shared your story before. You used to be, you know, with gangs. You used to deal with, you know, all sorts of things. You were labeled the menace to society at one point. You were a Brooklynite, but you sort of wound up in Toledo, Ohio, for whatever reasons. So tell me, have you noticed people, when you were, you know, doing your bad side of life stuff, for lack of a better word, that pretty much backed off and didn't want to be bothered because of maybe some fear they felt with you? Or did more people back then say things and you had to hide out a little more?
Well, you know, I had a few people in my life back then that were trying, you know, pour into me some positive things. But at that time, you know, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it at all. It's just like a lot of these kids are now. They don't want to hear a lot of things, but I didn't know it then, but a seed was being planted then.
Right.
It took a little while. It took a little while for it to start to grow and for it to come out on the outside of me. But it's the same with these kids now. You know, you have to be vocal with them a lot of times. I mean, you can't just You know, a lot. My problem is today, a lot of people get their T's twisted up. You know, they say these kids are trouble. No, they're not trouble. Don't get it twisted. They probably got troubled lives. You know, certain things are going on in their lives that you don't know what they're going through at home. You don't know what kind of battles they're fighting against out here. You know, there's a whole lot of trials and tribulations that these kids coming up now are going through that we wasn't going through back then. Because I believe back then when we were coming up, we had actually had people out there that really care. Now you have the people that's walking around here that really don't give a damn about anything, and that's a very sad thing. That's a very sad thing.
See, can I ask you a favor? With respect,
yes.
and of course, I'm asking for Miss Katie permission. Would you do a quick prayer before, because I can't stay on, but I wanted you to have a prayer for our people.
Okay, no problem. Father, right now, we come to you as humbly as we can, with our whole heart, O Lord. Father, we ask that you touch our people in a special way, O Lord. Touch their hearts, touch their minds and their souls, O Lord. Father, give them guidance, give them strength to do the right things that need to be done for the young people in this world today, O Lord. Lord, you know your word says, knock upon the door and it shall be opened. Ask and we shall receive. So I am knocking and I am asking right now, O Lord, that you show up and show out in anybody's life that's having a rough time right now, O Lord. Help them to get over the obstacles that they are going through in their lives, O Lord. Show up and show out in their lives and show them that who is in control of their lives. Their lives do not belong to them but belong to you, O Lord. Father, I ask that you give them comfort in their time of need, O Lord. Father, I ask that you give them, show them the true meaning of love in their lives if they don't have it, O Lord. I ask that you just do an awesome thing in their lives, O Lord. Whether it be their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, it doesn't matter, O Lord. I ask that you show up and show out in their lives. And I'm claiming all these things done in your son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very, very much for that, Deacon, and thanks for the request, Charles, because that's definitely something I would never have a problem doing on the air. And I hope those of you that are listening, that prayer benefited you. I also ask that God enhance the village or restore the village that our children need. We are missing it. I had an older sister that kept her foot in my neck and would not let me fail. She just wouldn't. Through my rebellious times, through my angry times, she would not let me fail. She constantly referred back to the fact that she said, something special is in you, and you have the ability to rise above, and you're not going to sit there and let what everybody else is going to make a mistake doing, like you're entitled to do, stop you from making it happen. So you don't make college in 2 years. You make it in 3. You know, what's the big deal? You did it. So I could say to this day, God has blessed me with the ability to make a full-grown gourmet meal of rock soup from a stone and a pot of water. I can look at something, and for those people that need the fancy this and the fancy that, I can make it work, and you'll never know where it came from. But that's what God bestowed upon me. And so I tried to bring that out in others. My co-host, Lady Diamond, she's gone through certain things too, from, you know, having the deadbeat fathers to, we've been through all that, which is why On the Edge was created. Because each of us had a story. Monster Miles went through a lot of things, being young as he is, where he was told he wasn't going to be this and he was too stupid for doing that, and not by his parents, but by peers. And, you know, we all have something that we can relate to. So when we're speaking on these subjects, we're not talking from some expert's book. We're not speaking on, you know, we're bigger than you, we don't understand you, we're not aliens. And before you teens that are listening, very carefully, let me say this again. It may seem like your parents are like some space pod people who don't know what you're going through, but they weren't born adults, dears. You may have the texting. We had trees and bathroom stalls to get our messages across. Okay, so the game board may have changed, but the rules are the same. We all had to go to the corny, nerdy stage, the unpopular stage. We had to go through being the flat-chested, the too fat, the pimply face. We went through it all. We went through liking a guy or a girl that didn't like us back but said they did to get something. We went through all of that. So the tricks that you play, and by the way, young ladies and young gentlemen, the tricks you play, we played and we were better at it because we didn't have text messages that had blueprints to show us what to our parents, what they did. All of our schemes was in our brain. So we're better at it. So anything you think you're getting over on your parents with, they might be distracted from that long work day, but they're going to catch up, and they're going to catch up faster than you think. So what they're telling you is not from the old days. So go ahead, Charles, what were you saying?
With that, I'm going to say goodnight to all of you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this program. Love you, Miss Katie. Always a pleasure.
Love you back. Thank you very much. We only have a few minutes left, about 15 minutes left, so I want to continue with this. And I appreciate your input, Charles. It's been wonderful as always. Okay, please join us again on our next segment if you can.
Yes, ma'am.
All right,
Charles,
God bless
I'd like
you.
To say this. Charles, I'd like to say this to you. May the Lord keep a fence of protection around you at all times, cover you and your entire family, and may you always feel love no matter where you go, and may you present it no matter where you go.
I appreciate that, and the same to you.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Deacon Williams, I'm going to be pressing on you a little bit. Okay? You and I both, we speak often. We try to collaborate often. We both have a very deep and passionate mission, not just mainly for the youth. And I need my listeners to understand that while we speak about community issues, while we speak about political parenting issues, our main goal is to restore our communities so that our youth have a future. Okay?
Yeah.
Most of what the team and I have encountered has been that we have been troubled teens or had a troubled life or dealt with lost people to troubles as youth and as teens. And one of our co-hosts, as I mentioned, is younger. So he is actually sort of living it just a little bit past the teen stage himself. So all of us are there now. This is a little bit of an upcoming announcement. The team is in the process of trying to create a segment where we are going to be involving teens. Part of it is going to be for this purpose, okay? When the program on this show comes out, we will be announcing it. We are trying to create a position, a program, where teens that's about to graduate high school or are in their junior year, can be able to have some, I guess, extracurricular or internship-type credits to go on their resumes so that when they're presenting themselves to the college of their choice, they can show that they have done some community-type work through this radio show. We haven't gotten all the details together, but we want to give youth that opportunity so that when you go out there, you have a higher shot at showing the world that you are an asset to the community up and coming. Not only that, hopefully we'll make it fun enough and interesting enough that you can learn something from it. And we will be having a way where we can possibly have a teen segment where teens are hosting and talking with their peers on the air. So as my team and I get this together, we will be given the details as they come forth. Hopefully down the line, Deacon, we can have your input with what you've done and bring it, you know, onto the show, hands-on, that type of way. Now,
yeah.
I know one of the things you have witnessed and experienced a whole lot of the community traumas and tragedies, and most of it has been with family members. You know, happened. You spoke about your niece that got stabbed to death to a teen domestic violence. You're dealing with other things right now. As you said tonight, your nephew was in the state penitentiary, and you feel that you had something to do with it. And you know, because you weren't a better example, but. We really can't stop trying. And, you know, yes, by all means, nobody's saying for you to go out there and pretend that you're Superman with a bulletproof shield. But there are other ways to do things. And you know what? If you don't even want to go that way, find a youth and try to get to the bottom of what's making them so upset. Maybe they'll suck their teeth and roll their eyes, but their ears work.
Yeah.
Their ears work. And just like you said, you didn't want to hear it at the time, but you grew up to be a well-rounded man, and that voice stood with you. The youth nowadays don't have those voices in their ears anymore. If you know, nowadays it's sad because you have to teach, you know, your sons that where you used to teach your children, if you can't find mommy or daddy, you go find a police officer. Now you have to add a little addendum to that teaching, and you have to tell them, well, sweetheart, since you're a little young African-American male, if you can't find mommy or daddy, when you go find a police officer, be sure that you have your hands all the way out to the sides with your hands and your fingers spread wide open and let them know that you're coming for help and you come in peace. That's a really sad situation.
Yeah.
All of you out there that's cutting what you think is an unimportant basketball sports program in a school, think about all the teachers that you just put out of a job. Think about all the children that use that for an escape, to feel like somebody, to get some structure. Now where are they going to go? With all the budget cuts that you've given, with all the rising prices of basics such as food and clothes and soap and even water, you're forcing a single parent to have to work twice around just to make one end meet, and then they still have to be a parent. So what we have to do is take what we're given, and they say when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. Now, does that sound easy? No, you might get cut trying to take the skins off. But the point is that you don't stop trying, and you don't say it is what it is, and you don't say, well, it's not in my backyard. Because you might be able to close your locks and seal up your gate, but guess what? When that person wants to jump the fence or pick your lock, now it's your backyard. When that hospital down the block closes and you happen to go to another place, and you don't care because it's not the hospital you frequent, what happens when you slip and fall and break your leg or you have a heart attack in front of that hospital that's fixed to a fever? Thinking there's some interference coming, I don't know if it's by you.
Yeah, it's a helicopter passing.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much, because I thought maybe it was a connection problem again. But that is just a thing. So you, what do you see out there where you're at?
Well, a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing out here, I pretty much don't care for, but I don't turn my head away from it. You know, I have to try and do something, because you have to deal with all the negative that's it's just like you want to deal with the positive stuff. You can't just turn away from it because it's negative. You know, you have to figure out a way to make it better. So that's what my focus is on, especially when it comes to these young people, because I have in my heart to love them, because I feel as though they don't hear that enough. They don't hear that enough in their lives. You know, and like I say, my door is always open to any of the young people that might want to come and talk to me, or if they feel like they're out here and they're living on the street, they need something to eat, I'll feed them, you know, because I feel that's something that I'm supposed to do. That's why God is really... allowed me to still be here, you know, so I have an obligation not to myself but to God first, and as long as I can keep that thought in my head and keep my hand in God's hand, I'll be all right, and they will be all right.
Indeed. The other thing that I wanted to touch on that I had run across over the past couple of days was this. There are many, many people out there that have a specific, let's say there's a specific ability that they have to progress. And, you know, several things like sensationalism gets in the way of them making the proper choice, in my opinion. So, for example, in your area, you're in Toledo, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across some research on the internet, and I saw a lot of stories coming up from your local newspaper, the Toledo Blade. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, some of the things I saw you in, actually... And, you know, they were big topics and they were community topics that does affect everybody, especially for people considering going down the tax credit program at the time.
Right.
But then I'm looking at other things, and it seems to me like news reporters are the first people that would have such a powerful connection, because masses of people listen and read at once. So rather than you looking for that hot, juicy story, that's all about negativity and controversy. Why not get to the bottom of something that's a negative situation that with enough help or with enough voices can be turned into something positive? Why you just want to talk about the person that got their head blown off?
Right.
Or the scandal about a celebrity that as soon as his prime is over, nobody's going to remember who he was anyway.
Yeah.
Why is it that it has to be newsworthy in order for it to be news?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes these people don't realize that they are the hope of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And they fail to realize that the position that they're put in, they have it in their head that it was because of them that they got there where they are, and that's not true. God blessed them to be in a position to be in that position that they are. So if he blessed you to be in that position, you're supposed to work towards being a blessing to somebody else, to help somebody else that's in need. You know, you're not supposed to be there to just sprue negativity wherever you go. That's not why you were chosen to do that. And a lot of people fail to realize that everybody's life has been a separate path. Everybody don't travel the same path when it comes to life. You know, everybody's got a different path. That's why we are so unique, because no one person is the same. And we're like, we've already got our train tracks laid out for us. Nobody runs on the same train track. Because if that was to happen, we have nothing but a bunch of train wrecks, and that would be a disaster. You know, so we have to figure out, first of all, we have to know who we are and whose we are and why. You know, once we get to know that, put those two things together, everything will come so easy. Everything will come so easy. You know, that's the only thing I can say that I would be able to accept easy, and that's trying to live the way God wants me to live. If that can come to me easy, I would love it. But that doesn't come to you easy. Anything that's worth having, you got to put in some work. You got to put in some work. A lot of these young people don't even know what hard work is. They want everything to be given to them. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. And today's society is giving them a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff is given to them. They feel like that they're deserving of it, and they're not. A lot of these children now that are coming up, they don't have to work or struggle for anything. They don't know the meaning of sacrifice. And that's what just left up to us, for us to start giving them the guidance and showing them what sacrifice is all about, because they have no idea.
That's true. They don't have the idea of earning anything either. And I will say that there's a two-part culprit in that one. Parents who's trying to be their children's friends is one, but two, all of the little youth availability jobs that were available once. Think about it.
Sure.
Before you can go bag groceries at a store after the checkout and make something.
Right.
You can take a person's groceries to the car for them. You can rake somebody's leaves. You can be a news delivery person. Nowadays, everything's being taken over by computers. You don't get the paper delivered to your door anymore. Now you can read a digital copy online. You don't have groceries anymore because now everybody's got a self-checkout. You know, now you can just run your card through. You know, you don't have the milk delivery anymore because everybody's going to the supermarket. So there's a lot of things. On the other hand, what do? Do you sit back and take it? You don't. Okay, we are down to our last few minutes of the show, and I do want to thank you, Deacon, for coming in. I'm glad that you're back, and I know that you still sound a little hurt out there. I hope you're okay, but you were clear tonight, so don't worry. I heard you perfectly, and I appreciate your input all the time. Please continue to be the strong activist that you are, continuing to remind people that our Christianity and our roots needs to be restored because it's the basis of everything. Please keep your mouth open for these teens that are out there going in the wrong direction. We both know that they're rolling their eyes and they're sucking their teeth, but if you say it enough, it'll stay with them like a nagging something, and that's what we want for them, because that nagging voice might be the difference between them turning to the right or turning to the left. So thank you, Deacon, for joining in tonight. And please, if you're feeling up to it, of course, we expect you to be back on the panel as always. We have a special, you know, telephone slot for you there. Okay?
Okay.
So thank you.
I just want to say thank you to you in your radio broadcast. You don't know how many people let you touch. Well, you know how many people you touch because you got over 11,000 listeners. So that's those that show you how God is working in your life. So I just pray for you every day that you just get so big and get blessed so much that you won't know what to do with it. So be blessed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All praises be to him for that one. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, listeners that are out there. You know, my final remarks tonight is this. Not in my backyard should not exist in your head. It should not exist in your head. As long as you are a mother, a father, as long as you are the adult of a child around you, we all have a responsibility to mold our children, whether they're ours or not. We all have a responsibility to try to make sure we can all live in peace and in safety. I don't want to sound like I'm being one of those philosophers. It's not about that. It's about stepping out and getting tired of seeing that there's a broken lot on the floor that everybody knows, but now it's a hole. I'm getting tired of seeing people can do something about it, should be doing something about it, but don't know who you are until they need you on election day. I'm tired of seeing more of our girls being taken away into sexual things because everybody's about money and marketing is all that matters. And anybody's able to do whatever they want to do to make the big bucks. And no one's saying anything. I'm tired of seeing these parents trying to live their dream life through their young children. You know, toddlers in tiaras, you know, 16 and pregnant, anything to give our children the wrong idea on top of already rapidly, you know, disintegrating the society. We need to be that village, not the backyard. So until tomorrow night, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, open your eyes, and try to make a difference by caring about something outside of the gate of your yard. Until tomorrow night, God bless you, everybody.
I got you.
Good night.
Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.